Hey guys, welcome back here to Two Travel Dads Podcast. I'm Chris.
Hey, I'm Rob. And today we're going to be talking about, because we love Victoria and have so much stuff to share about it, we're going to be talking about all the different ways to get to Victoria. So it's, you know, it's on an island, right? It's the southern tip of Vancouver Island. So yeah, you're going to have some planning to do before you get there. Which way do you want to talk about first? We've taken almost all of the different routes to get there.
Yeah, that I can think of. I think my favorite way to get there is by seaplane.
I would agree.
Yeah, so flying, we use Kenmore Air out of Lake Union in Seattle, and flew in via seaplane. It was what, maybe a 30-minute flight?
I think it was like a 45-minute flight.
Okay, 45-minute flight. But it's beautiful the whole way. And I think that our plane sat like maybe 8 people. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to just fly in and land on the water in the Inner Harbor in Victoria. So it's just a great way to get there and to enter, an international city.
Yeah. And real quick, if you didn't listen to our first episode about Victoria, the way that the city is laid out, it's the main area is built around the Inner Harbor. So you've got your marina, you've got where the ferries come into, where the planes come into. And it's very pedestrian friendly. There's tons of hotels directly around there. So even though it seems weird to maybe fly in and walk off of a plane in your downtown, it's actually really easy because
that's how it works.
Yeah, everybody, all the hotels have shuttles to pick you up from the Air Harbor. And yeah, I mean, if it's in your budget to fly from either Seattle or Vancouver, actually, you know, right there on the north end of downtown Vancouver, you can also catch a seaplane with Harbor Air to Victoria. So that's another option if you are actually in Vancouver and want to pop over. But yeah, it's super easy because you just fly into downtown, walk off, hotel shuttle picks you up. It's like you flew into any other city and didn't get a rental
car. Cool experience. Customs easy. You get off the plane, just go right to your hotel, check in, and then go off exploring.
Ooh, I totally forgot about customs. Yeah, when you're coming from the United States, you do have to go through customs. So they'll talk to you about it when you're in Seattle. But then when you're actually there, they've got the cutest little customs building that you have to walk into to be approved to leave. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so make sure there's our first big tip is make sure that if you are traveling by air or by boat, because the different options that we're going to give you here, they're air or boat, you have to have a passport. So the enhanced driver's license that we have available in Washington State or other states that border with Canada, that will not do if you're traveling by air or sea. So make sure you have an actual passport. Good times.
Yep, good tip.
So that's seaplanes. I think something to really call out about flying into Victoria is the view the whole way. So, I mean, it's amazing from the water, but getting to see the Seattle area from the air and literally fly right past the Space Needle, and then getting to fly over Whidbey Island and then just the bottom San Juan, the farther south San Juan Islands, it's gorgeous. You don't realize how beautiful it is where we live until you do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Especially, I think, when we were flying back from Victoria back into Seattle, I think there was like around sunset, if I remember right, and just beautiful colors in the sky and
yeah,
sun on the clouds. It was amazing.
And it's also fun when you fly over and you find your house.
Yeah.
Which seaplanes fly low enough that you get to do that. All right, so the next way to get up to Victoria is going to be, again, we're from Seattle, so we're talking mainly from the Seattle area. The Victoria Clipper, it goes right from downtown Seattle, Pier 66 at the north end of the downtown waterfront. Yeah, gosh, it's again, really convenient. And why don't you tell us about the Clipper?
Well, it's a cool, but what would you call that? Is that like a?
I think it is technically a catamaran.
It's technically a catamaran.
Yeah.
A high speed boat. You know, two different decks on there. But a great way to get up to Victoria. I liked the lounge area that we reserved. Can't remember what it's called.
So there's three different classes of tickets.
Yeah, three different classes.
You've got your basic, your economy that is on the bottom level, and it's not reserved seats or anything like that. And then for
I don't think any of it's reserved seat.
No.
It's all open. It's just those three different classes.
Yeah. So the next class up is the Vista class, and that's what we have ridden both to and from Victoria. And you've got both tables in the middle that are underneath skylights, so it's nice and bright, as well as chairs that recline pretty far with almost floor-to-ceiling windows near the back of the boat, and that's where we sat on this last trip. It was awesome. I loved those seats specifically because we were just like sailing along the water. And then the third class of ticket is the comfort class, and that has a private cabin, and it's not much different except that it comes with complimentary coffee and tea, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, and there's service too, right? So there's mm-hmm. staff that comes around and checks in on you to see if you need any drinks or mm-hmm. food, and which is nice, especially when you have kids too and you don't want to get up and moving around.
Yeah.
It's nice to be waited on, I guess.
Yeah. I forgot that they do the specific table or seat service. That, mm-hmm. that is a nice feature. What was I going to say? I was going to say one more thing about... Oh, when you are riding the Clipper, if they come across a pod of whales, and this is one of the bonuses about taking a boat up to Vancouver Island instead of flying, is along the Clipper route, the resident orcas and other types of whales that come through Puget Sound, they tend to be in the ferry path. So if that happens, they stop the boat and there is outdoor decks that people can go out on, and you get to watch the orcas, and it's awesome. We got to do that. We've seen them from a couple different boats, but our last trip up to Victoria on the Clipper, we got to see the orcas. I thought it was really special.
Oh yeah, it's always special when you get to see orcas.
Yeah. So moving from the
I was just gonna say, like, because we talked about you can take the Clipper out, but the experience of boarding the Clipper, I felt takes a while.
Oh yeah, you know what? Let's actually talk about that.
Yeah.
So it's like boarding a plane.
There's a lot of people. So unlike when you take the seaplane, or we'll talk about the Coho out of Port Angeles, but Seattle's popular. There's a lot of people in the city. A lot of people want to go to Victoria, and the Clipper is packed. So the line to wait to register, to get checked in,
to check bags,
to go through customs, allow yourself some time. It's not just a quick zip up, get in, get on the boat.
Yeah, because they do a preliminary customs check there, and then you go through customs again once you're actually up in Victoria. So it is something you need to... When you book your tickets on the Victoria Clipper, they will give you instructions for starting your day off right and making sure you get there on time and where to go. You really need to follow those very closely because, you want to be able to pick your seat when you get onto the boat. And if you are at the end of that line for your boarding group, you're going to be bummed.
Pickings.
Yeah, slim pickings. So, and then the other... I have this thought that keeps on coming into my head. Oh, with the Victoria Clipper, if you so desire, if you don't want to go and spend the night in Victoria, you can actually book day trips that go from Seattle in the morning, nice and early. I think it's, an 8 o'clock boat. And then they return in the afternoon. So you get up to Victoria around like 10 a.m. and then you head back towards Seattle around 4:30. So you actually do get, a good 5-6 hours up in the city. And they can pair that up with a trip up to the Bouchard Gardens. We've actually got some links in the podcast show notes with some recommended tours that do that specifically, going from Seattle up to Victoria just for the day. So just a good option. Since we mentioned the Black Ball Ferry, why don't we chat about that?
Oh, do you mean the Coho?
The Coho. So, yeah, there's a couple names for it. It's the company is called Black Ball, mm-hmm. Black Ball Ferries, and the boat that goes in between Port Angeles, Washington, which is on the Olympic Peninsula, it's where we live, up to Victoria, that is called the MV Coho, Motor Vehicle Ferry Coho. It's pretty cool. I love that when they first leave port. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a song recorded in like the 40s or 50s by Bing Crosby, and it talks about riding the Black Ball Ferry.
I think I did hear that just kind of as I was getting settled in.
It's a really jaunty tune. Yeah. But yeah, so they play that at the start of your boat ride to remind you that you're having a vintage travel experience.
On the Black Ball Ferry line up in Seattle, where the sunshine seldom shines, up in Seattle all the whistles go and the bells go, and the ferry boats are chugging right along, right along. All the people love.
And unlike the unlike the Clippers, the Victoria Clipper is a passenger-only ferry, versus the MV Coho, as Bob mentioned, is a motor vehicle ferry. So you can actually drive your car across and then end up driving over in Canada.
Yeah. So it's with that, you know, then you just go through customs in your car. It's like a border crossing of any other sort. So some things to note, though, about taking the Coho is that, number one, there's not Wi-Fi in the boat, was there?
Sure was, the whole entire way.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, maybe I just didn't have mine on.
I think you did.
Huh. Okay.
Yes. There's Wi-Fi the whole entire way.
Well, there you have it. There is Wi-Fi. But also pretty good cell service for a good portion of the crossing, I felt. So you were on Wi-Fi. I was on
Wi-Fi, and I had to take a work phone call. And so I was very thankful for the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Different. So yes, there is that sort of service. There is a snack bar, not like a full meal service, and not quite a nice options.
You can get a cheeseburger wrapped in that foil wrapper.
That's true. You can.
And you can get wine that's cheaper than beer.
You can get wine that's cheaper than beer. You can also get beer. And lots of snacks and cookies and things like that. And then the big thing also to note if you're driving onto the Coho is that you can't stay in your car when you are crossing the Strait of Juan de Fuca. So that's the body of water that you cross from Port Angeles up to Victoria is the Strait. And the boat is, they lock the doors. So you can't get out if you are down there, and it's a safety thing. So yeah, when you board, you have to exit your car and go up top. And it can sometimes be quite the pinch to squeeze between cars because they really pack them in there like sardines. But that's okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's great to have your car and drive across into Canada, but as a auto passenger, you will get the worst seats on the boat.
Oh, it's true. So yeah,
because everybody walks on first and gets their seats right away.
Yeah,
and you get what's left over.
Yeah, the only time we've gotten good seats on the Coho was when we have walked on.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not that you can't find it, but it's just not. There's not great seats.
So maybe a good little tip would be to
be the first one in line.
Either be the first one in line or have one person from your party be a walk-on passenger who gets onto the boat first and goes and saves you seats by a window. And then the rest of your party walks up from the car. That is a great tip. And that's what we should do next time. So, and also it's another great way for whale watching is riding the Coho. We've seen orcas. And, on our trip in, is that May? No, it was last November. We got pictures of gray whales from the Coho. So, yeah, pretty cool. What's next? You know, we haven't done it, like, from... So this next one is the BC ferry system. And that goes from a place called... How do you say that? Swasson?
That's what I'd say.
Swasson. It starts with a T, but it has a bunch of S's and W's in it.
Just one W.
No, I spelled it wrong right here where you're looking. So it is T-S-A-W-W-A-S-S-E-N.
Okay.
Swasson. So the BC ferries go from Swasson, which is just south of Vancouver, and cuts across the Haro Strait and pulls into Sydney, which is about a 25-30 minute drive from downtown Victoria. So that's another option for you. When you're doing that, because that is going Canada to Canada, if you drove across into Canada from the United States and you did that with an enhanced license versus a passport, you can drive onto the BC ferry without having a passport.
So, because you're already in Canada.
Because you're already in Canada and you don't have to show passports. So that is one way to get around that if you only have an enhanced license and don't have a passport. Crafty. Beat the system. Yeah, so since we're talking about Sydney, that's on the eastern side of the southern tip of Vancouver Island. That's also where Washington State ferries will go. So did you know that you can take the ferry from Washington to Vancouver Island?
Yeah, we went from Port Angeles on the Coho.
No, Washington State Ferry.
Oh, Washington State Ferry. Yeah, I figured there was some roundabout way that you could do it.
Yeah, so from Anacortes.
It's probably multiple, yeah.
Well, so there's one that goes directly from Anacortes, and then there's the actual like San Juan ferry system that goes Anacortes to what? Anacortes to Lopez to Orcas to Shaw to Deer, yeah, to blah, 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 blah. Like it hits all those different islands and then ends in Sydney. Mm. So that is, you can make reservations for that, and it is an auto ferry. So you could either walk onto it or drive onto it. If you're walking onto it, there isn't a ton to do once you're up in Sydney, BC. So we would recommend driving onto it, and that is going to be more costly than the walk-on, but totally worth it for making sure that you have a great experience once you're actually up on the island.
Yeah, I will say it's great to have a car there in Victoria just because of some of the sites that you want to go off and see, like Bouchard Gardens, mm-hmm, or Craigdarroch. There you go. Okay, I can't make those sounds. But driving out there to some of the other places too, it's just nice to have a car.
Yeah, and in fact, so if you
Beacon Hill Park, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but also like stuff like Beacon Hill Park, even the castle, Craigdarroch Castle, is even walking distance from downtown. We just drove because it was cold and we could.
Well, and we had the kids too.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you had a bike, I think everything's pretty bikeable.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, so with that though, so you've driven onto a boat and you've ended up in Sydney, BC, whether you're coming from Vancouver or from Anacortes. Between Sydney and Victoria, there are some really cool stops that you can make. So that's when you are going, you actually drive past Bouchard Gardens and Brentwood Bay. And right by there, there's also the Victoria Butterfly Gardens. It's actually super duper close to Bouchard. That's a really, really cool place. I love, and this is a little bit off topic, but that's okay. It's our podcast. We can talk about what we want. I really love the leaf cutter ant exhibit at the Victoria Butterfly Gardens.
Mm, yeah, that's super, super cool.
Super duper cool. And it just goes everywhere. And there's tarantulas and flamingos and butterflies. And butterflies land on you. And it's magical, especially in the winter when you're cold. Really cool place. And it's in between the Sydney Ferry terminals and downtown Victoria. So that's a bonus stop. And then we mentioned when we were talking in our last podcast, we were talking about biking around on Vancouver Island in that southern area. And one of the spots between Bouchard and downtown is Saanich. That's S-A-A-N-I-C-H, Saanich. And that's kind of like, it's the farmy area of Victoria, and it's really beautiful. There are pumpkin patches and vineyards.
Is that that winery, that great winery that we went to, sat in Saanich?
Yeah, that was in Saanich. And you know what? I can't even tell you what that was called. You just got to give me a sec.
Well, while he's looking that up, you know, and we're talking about biking in the area. What's also great too is if you have your own bike that you want to bring over, you can definitely take your bikes on either the Coho. So out of Port Angeles, or you can also take it on the Victoria Clipper too. So,
oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So if you don't want to take your car, but you want to be a little bit more mobile, you can definitely take your bike over or pack your rollerblades, whichever.
That would be super fun. Oh my gosh. That would actually be awesome to go rollerblading all over the island because they have really good bike paths and they're really well paved. Except, you know what though? The the part of the trail that actually goes through Saanich. Remember, it has all those boardwalks.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would be for blading.
Not so much.
But that's a great idea, and I think that we should actually do that next time. Without the kids.
Yeah.
And the winery that you were thinking of that's in Saanich, that is Roost Vineyard Bistro. So it's got their own wine label, as well as a really great farm-to-table restaurant. So
that was a great restaurant.
There's a lot of great farm-to-table stuff in Victoria, which we'll talk about in a different podcast. Literally, we could talk about Victoria for absolutely ever. I've got a couple more quick things to talk about. We talked about you could take the seaplane from Seattle or Vancouver. You can take the Victoria Clipper from Seattle. There's BC ferries that will take you into Sydney from Tsawwassen. And you know what? You can also take the ferry into Nanaimo, which is about another half an hour north. It's another kind of big town.
I like Nanaimo bars.
I wonder if those are actually from Nanaimo. That would be a wonderful thing for you to research for our next episode. You can go that way. You can take Washington State Ferry from Anacortes and go through the San Juan Islands. Passenger ferry from Vancouver. That's the last one. I knew I was missing one. So there is another. It's kind of like the Victoria Clipper. It is a walk-on passenger ferry that goes from downtown Vancouver to Victoria. So the company that does that, of course, you can do BC ferries from the other side. But the company that does the ferry that goes from Vancouver, it's called V2V. That's V, the number two, V. And they do day trips. They do just, you know, transit going in between the two cities. It is a pretty cool way to get over to Victoria from Vancouver if you are doing kind of like a Pacific Northwest trip, like if you came across the continent on the train or something like that. It's an easy way for you to do that. And, you know, like I said, it can be a day trip or it can be something where you book your passage, spend a night or two in Victoria, and then go back. So it is a long boat ride. It's a little over 3 hours to get in between Victoria and Vancouver by boat. So, you know, just kind of plan that it's a dedicated day. But, you know, options for everybody. So was there anything else that you want to talk about with in terms of like planning for Victoria and is like transportation? Oh, you know what? I didn't mention one other thing. There's also an airport in Victoria.
Oh, yeah. I assume there was.
Yeah.
Separate from the marina.
Yeah. So, yeah. You can actually fly a regular airplane.
Land on tarmac.
Yeah. Land on tarmac. Go to airport like that. But we haven't done that, so we have no experience.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it depends on where you're coming from. You know, so for us, it's really simple. We've got great options.
Yeah. But I guess if you're coming from, like, Calgary or something.
Yeah. Might be easier to just fly right on in.
Yeah.
To Victoria.
Or they could take the Rocky Mountaineer across Banff and then end in Vancouver and then take the cool V2V 3-hour boat ride.
Again, you've got options.
Yeah, good times. anyways, so those are all the different ways that you can get to Victoria. Lots to consider if you are planning a trip. We recommend at least 2 nights. Do you think 2 is good, or do you...
You can do Victoria in a weekend and be completely satisfied.
Yeah. But also, I mean, we could happily spend 4 or 5 days. I think that's the longest we've spent was 4 nights.
Yeah. Either way is fine.
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to
be bored. I could
live
there. So.
It's a pretty cool place. But yeah, no. So anywhere from 2 to 4 nights or even more is definitely what we would recommend. Just 1 night if you really just have to squeeze it in is fine, but at least 2 is really ideal.
Well, even a day trip's great.
I know, we're just like whittling down the amount of time you need, but in reality, a couple days. And then if you actually want to explore more of Vancouver Island and like go to like Gold Creek or Tofino, then that's something else that we haven't got to do as a family. So we'll have, maybe we can do that this summer. So, all right. Well, I think that wraps it up for our episode about getting to Victoria and getting to Vancouver Island. I know there's a lot of options. Kind of a weird episode, but I think
have
it's
your
helpful.
Passport.
Have your passport. Just yes, I think that's a great call. Okay, we'll talk to you later. Next time we're going to be chatting about hotels, restaurants, all that stuff, and then watch for another podcast episode with the kids giving their recommendations.
Watch for that. Keep your eyes peeled.
Or listen. Well, no, you watch for it, and then you can listen. And as a side note, if you want, you can download our episodes off of iTunes, off of Spotify, or
Google Podcasts.
Google Podcasts. We are on all of those, or directly from the website at twotraveldads.com/podcast-episodes. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye, guys.
Two Travel Dads Podcast is written by Rob and Chris Taylor and produced by Rob Taylor in Suquamish, Washington. If you would like to be a guest on the Two Travel Dads Podcast or would like to sponsor it, go ahead and visit us at bit.ly/2TD work.